The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, whoever is angry with brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar, go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while you are on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I've got bad news, and I've got bad news. Which one do you want first? Oh, you're laughing. I don't see anybody here who has cut their hand off, or anybody who has plucked an eye out. So maybe we're not hearing that gospel very clearly, or any of these readings. Because the bad news is that we have no excuse for sinning. None whatsoever. Now, there may be people out in the world that do have an excuse. We don't. Because we have heard the gospel preached to us, and we know what the teachings of God are that have come down to us through the church. So we don't have an excuse for sinning. That's what all of our readings are telling us. So we should be a little bit nervous about that. The first reading from Sirach says, If you choose, you can obey the commandments. If you choose, you can obey the commandments. Now, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament before the people knew about the Savior, about Jesus Christ. And even back then, they were being told, you have enough knowledge that it's your choice to either obey the commandments or disobey them. So what we're being told is we have the power. We have the grace from God that if we choose, we can obey the commandments. And there's no wiggle room. Again, Sirach says you choose either fire or you choose water. It's very similar to what Jesus said. Run hot or run cold, or you get spit out of the mouth of God. So very clearly, we're being told we have the information we need to obey the commandments. So no excuses. The second reading, what does Paul say? It says, we have been given the wisdom from God that we need to be faithful. And he says, it is not the wisdom of the age. It is not the wisdom of the rulers of the age. So we're not looking out there into our culture, American society, whatever, for wisdom. We have wisdom that has come to us from God. Again, it's in the scriptures, the teachings of the church. We know everything we need to know in order to be faithful. And then in the gospel reading, again, Jesus is really constricting things, making it perhaps more frightening in a way for us, because we could say we actually know too much. We know so much that Jesus is even limiting whatever wiggle room there was. He's saying, you have heard it said, this, that, and the other thing, but I now say to you, no excuses. Not only is adultery some physical act, but it's also in our minds when we lust after someone. So Christ is really shrinking whatever wiggle room there might have been to eliminate it. And again, he's not doing that to make it harder on us, but rather to show us how high the stakes are. And again, we're told, because we know the wisdom of God, if we sin, and through sinning teach other people to sin, what will happen to us? Well, we're leading other people into sin. We will be held responsible not only for the sins we commit, but also responsible for the sins that other people commit because we have led them into sin. Now, are you nervous? You ready to cut off a hand or pluck out an eye? I guess I have to start again. So again, we're not supposed to be nervous about it, but we're supposed to see the stakes are high. We live in a society where basically anything goes. If we feel like something should be the case, then, well, of course, it's got to be okay. It's got to be okay. Why would I feel good about it? Uh-uh. It's got nothing to do with my feelings. It's got to do with the letter of the law. And the law is there not to deprive us of joy and happiness, but to prevent us, help us to avoid what is evil, what is harmful. Now, we have a lot of couples here today who are going to be married. They're going to have their pre-Cana today. Divorce in this country is astronomical. And when I have done pre-Cana or preparation for marriage, talking to a couple, especially, let's say, where one of the two people come from a family of divorce, I say, you know, the chances are of your divorcing are pretty high because your parents showed you that it was okay. And they say, well, it's not going to happen to us. How are you going to make sure it doesn't happen to you? What are you going to do now before you're married to take advantage of all the resources that we have to have holy, faithful marriages? Because marriage is a lifelong commitment. We don't say, well, I will stay married to you as long as I feel in love with you. It says, in good times and in bad times, richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. Is there wiggle room in that? So when I stood in front of the bishop and made my vow of chastity and obedience, you know, I wasn't thinking, well, I'll do it as long as I feel good about it. No. You know, my promise was forever. It doesn't mean it's easy. I need the help of other people. I need the prayers of other people. And incidentally, if you think you're going to be held accountable, I'm going to be held even more accountable because I am a priest and I have the duty to preach the gospel. But we're all in it together. And the point of it is this. If we follow the law of the Lord, if we are obedient, not only will our lives flourish with peace and joy, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of tragedy, but we will be able to be a gift to the world, to show the world that there is a good, perfect, holy, wise way to live life so that we can reduce the numbers of the poor, those who are abused, those who are neglected. That's what God wants. So he's giving us the laws. He's giving us his teachings. He's giving us his wisdom so that we can know what we're called to do and what we're called not to do, so that we can be faithful disciples and bring the light of Christ into the world. Last week we had that image of light. We can either be a light to shine on the truth, to say to people, no, that's not what God wants. And if you go that way, you're not only going to hurt yourself, but you're going to hurt other people. But so that we can also say, this is how God wants us to follow him. And if we did it more and more, better and better, then we will be creating with God the kingdom of God as God wants it created. So we have a lot of responsibility. Every one of us, we're all going to be held accountable, everyone in this church, because we've heard the gospel message, we know what it is, and if we choose, according to Sirach, we can obey the commandments. So we don't have any wiggle room, but let's rejoice in that. Because we don't have to worry then. We don't have to worry and figure things out. Well, what is right, what is wrong? We know. We know what is right and wrong. So we don't have to worry about figuring out. All we have to do is joyfully say to the Lord, I commit myself to you. I desire to follow in your path. And I desire to follow that path that leads right into heaven. Not into Gehenna, not hell, but into heaven. So the stakes are very high, and you and I have a lot of work to do, right? A lot of work to do, because we live in a country where, if anything, the truth, the wisdom of God is being picked apart, people trying to destroy it and replace it with the wisdom of the age, which is not really wisdom. It is simply foolishness in the eyes of God. So we've been entrusted with a great truth, and we should, number one, be thanking God for it. That's what we're doing right now. The Eucharist is about thanking God for it, and then saying, I am so grateful for it in my own life that I want to share it with other people. I want to be a sign of God's love, of God's justice, of God's wisdom, of God's peace. So that's our work, to go from this building out into the world, taking what we have heard, what we have learned, practice it in our own lives, and then teach it to others, as we are called to teach it to others. And that is our glory. That is what is going to bring us right into heaven, because we embrace what God has given us, what God has commanded us to do, and we are free to reject it. But hopefully we are free enough in our lives to say, yes, Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life, and I want to be faithful to you and to you alone. So as we continue our Eucharist, let's pray that we will not only embrace the teachings that God has given us, live them each day and teach them, but thank God for them. Thank God that he loved us so much that he didn't want us to keep wandering in a desert of evil, but has given us a beautiful path to follow, a path that takes us right up into heaven.